Look, I'm not a cool guy or anything, okay? I haven't been on a date in 12 years, but I would love to waste your time for a couple of hours.
You're listening to League of Ordinary Gentlemen, Curvecast, episode 2. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno, here to talk about the Pickle Gambit.
The Pickle Gambit, episode 2, season 9. Welcome back, first of all, Clay. Happy birthday, I want to say.
Happy belated. First of all, making a donation to the Greater Boston Food Bank, my birthday fundraiser, suggested by Facebook. And you know they're a big corporation, but don't we need people to be doing nice things?
It's true. We do need people. And that's good because, you know, like the Facebook birthday thing, if you want me to get a little Larry David on this podcast.
I definitely want you to play Larry David, and I'll play every other character on the show.
Do you think that's really the Facebook birthday thing? Is it necessary? Like, okay, if I don't see the person in real life ever, right, I don't feel the need to wish them a happy birthday on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like, I guess that's bad. I don't know. Maybe it's not bad. I don't care. Bad. What do I do? But, like, I mean, you are my friend in real life, IRL, right, in real life.
Yeah.
So but I don't even just want to say happy birthday. I would like to, like, I want to send you, like, I sent you a card, you know, like a, I sent you like a GIF or something or whatever, right? Or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like a Batman image or something.
And a nice comic book. That's not forget about
you that. I sent you some, I always send a GIF, but because we're friends in real life. Yeah. And there are a few people, I suppose, that I'm friends with them in real life, but I don't see them that much. And I will say happy birthday because I won't see them or whatever. But
right,
I mean,
like it's Brom's birthday today.
Yeah, and I sent him a little happy birthday thing, and it was I sent him a little Seinfeld, actually, because he and I always used to watch Seinfeld a lot. So I sent him a thing. Like, you remember the episode where Kramer was, like, Newman had this vision of Kramer as, like, a cookie? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Because it was when Kramer was bathing in butter.
Yeah.
Or whatever, or the butter shave, I think the episode was actually called. So anyways, but Kramer, I mean, Brom always liked that episode. So I sent him the image was a gift. I said, enjoy a nice meal for your birthday. Maybe one like this. And it was, you know, Kramer's head on the turkey or whatever. But anyway, whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, people that you don't really know, you know.
Right.
Oh, it's their birthday. Hundreds of people are going to wish them their birthday on Facebook, probably. But you did a nice thing. So people who go to your page to say, hey, happy birthday, Clay, are going to see that thing that says, please donate to the Greater Boston Food Bank.
Right.
Which I did. Not to brag, but...
No, you did.
And a bunch of people did.
And I thank them. And even if you don't, it's like not like I want people to have to feel bad about not giving to it, even if they even think about it for a second, and maybe they donate something to other good causes, the things that they believe in, you know what I mean? Like, I just want people to start doing some nicer things with Facebook than what you usually see.
Yeah, than just being a weirdo, like most people are, like talking about all the stupid things that they do that, like, we care, like,
yeah,
whatever. Anyway, well, happy birthday, and yeah,
thanks.
You did a good thing there, Clay. You raised a little awareness, and they got some money that they ordinarily wouldn't have got at the Greater Boston Food Bank.
Yeah, $400.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. Very good.
Pretty good. I got it.
But you also, in your Facebook comment to me, mentioned the Facebook cut, the birthday cutoff.
That's right. The birthday cutoff. We were talking about that, yes, because that was, you know, that was a thing. But yeah, you know, I made the cutoff. I actually wish you a happy birthday on your birthday, but I never remember when your birthday is, so I guess Facebook is good for that. It's, what is it, the 7th?
The 6th.
Shit, see that?
But yeah, I mean,
I already forgot 2 days ago.
In that way, it can, you know, whether you want to wish somebody happy birthday or not, it is very useful.
Yes, it's true.
Wow, shit, it's that person's birthday. It's my wife's birthday. I forgot, you know?
Yeah, it probably happens. Facebook can be different. I'm sure it does. But, yeah, it's fun, you know, I mean, but otherwise, you know, the thing is, too, I don't know, is it proper etiquette to go and thank every person that thanks, that wishes you a happy birthday on your wall?
Well, I don't know that it is, but I have, for the past 5 years or so, done that, and it's a lot of work, man.
Oof. Yeah, well, you have a lot of Facebook friends,
and like so. I think over maybe almost close to 300 of them wrote on my wall, and I wrote 300 thank yous.
Do you really, or do you just like? You
know, I
like...
thanked them all individually.
What?
Because then if it's somebody that I'm you know that I'm friends with, like you said, IRL.
IRL. Or
if we have, maybe if we don't see each other that often, but we have like a private joke or something, I like to throw something like that into the thank you.
All right.
You know?
That's a lot of time you must have spent.
Yeah, but thank I was, you, you know, I appreciate it. Happy to be alive.
Well, hey, it's yeah, the big 4-2.
And always, always
sorry,
like
Fred, I just gave your age out on
the... Fred Hembeck. Who I'm friends with on Facebook, the Marvel cartoonist that draws really funny cartoons. He always, I think, wishes everybody that he's friends with happy birthday with
really?
A special, like, personalized Hembeckian birthday thing. So I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool, man.
I kind of want to be friends with him just to get one.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Hembeckian. It's Hembeckian.
Hembeckian.
I bet Larry and Fred Hembeck would be buddies if they knew each other. Or maybe they would hate each other.
Well, Fred Hembeck is kind of like the Larry David of Marvel Comics.
I think you're right. I think you're right about that. All right, so let's bring it on back.
Let's get into the pickle.
Let's get to the pickle gambit here. We want to get into this here.
The great sode.
This was a funny one. This is pretty much exactly what the series is all about, right? I mean, like, there is one overarching, like, storyline and a lot of little storylines, and they all intersect and intertwine, which is, I mean, that was a Seinfeld thing, too, but this is, Curb Your Enthusiasm really gets into it, because I feel like, you know, HBO, they get a little more creative freedom. But, so here we go. Larry David he's apparently been living in a hotel
yeah.
since the last episode. And the very first shot is him writing a letter saying, "Dear Ayatollah," he's ready to apologize, apparently. And then Leon and Jeff come in, and Jeff is trying to give him a pep talk, and Leon is like, "What the fuck you doing?" Basically, first thing Leon does, the best thing that I thought was funny, Leon walks right in and grabs a beer off the table and starts drinking Larry's beer, and he's saying. Leon is basically saying the Ayatollah, they're going to come find you no matter what, and they're going to cut your hands and your feet off and shove you in like a suitcase and bring you out like luggage.
Yeah.
And Jeff is like, "How are you helping?" But anyway, they convince him that he needs to go back to his house, and so Larry puts on his disguise with the mustache and the hair, the classic disguise. Goes out to the elevator and he runs into, has a nice run in with a prostitute.
We have to talk about the disguise for a second because
okay.
It's so hilarious. It, like, there's parts of the show now, I think that, yes, like, I agree with you what you said, that it's mirroring, like, the other seasons. But there's parts of this that are just, like, classic, like, Marx Brothers, like, comedy. Like, if you go to, like, you know, start with the opening shot with the Dear Ayatollah, you know, like, that's just that's comedy. True. Like, he's playing himself, but, like, this is just, like, classic, classic funny shit. Like,
is old school comedy.
This
You're
is
right.
Very old school. Like, wig and the glasses
and the mustache.
That mashed up with when he goes to the. I'm skipping the hooker part for a second, but then he's wearing this ridiculous wig and and mustache, and he has this interaction with the hooker. It's a very Curb Your Enthusiasm thing, and then he's down there with the arguing about the tongs with
the hotel manager.
But yeah, it's just, it's so absurd. It's fucking brilliant. I love it so much.
No, it's true. It's almost, it's so much more funny because he's having in his mind a serious conversation about the tongs.
Yeah,
looking like he does. He looks so ridiculous. And it's true. It is classic. It is very Marx Brothers. Even almost like, I mean, I love the Marx Brothers, but yeah, it is old school comedy like that. It's like,
it's, yeah, it's like old school, like Hollywood really... comedy, like,
you know. But I love this interaction with the hooker before we get to he's very normal. Cause I mean, it's a very much, he's like, look at you. Like, he knows she's a hooker. She knows she's a hooker, obviously. And he says like, and he gives her some fashion advice.
Right.
Like, why do you dress like this? And she's like, well, I'm a hooker. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, I feel like if you bought one nice dress, you business would go up, you know, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, you would be able
he's
to
like,
afford.
That sounds nice, but I can't afford that.
Yeah. He's like, if you get one nice dress, you could afford, believe me, in 6 months, your closet will be full of nice dresses from Saks Fifth Avenue. Saks Fifth Avenue, I love that they actually name drop the store. But she's into it. She's like, okay, so hide the boobs or whatever. Hide the tits, she says.
Yeah, hide the tits. Yeah. The fishnets
get
go away.
Get rid of the fishnets, right.
And also...
And the hooker boots.
And also you can tell that, that half of that conversation was born of improv, too. Like, when she says fishnets, like, that wasn't written down somewhere, you know?
Probably not.
So lose the fishnets, Lose the tits.
Lose the fishnets. Hide the tits. Whatever. So, I mean, that was pretty funny. That was good. And obviously it plays into it later. But, I mean, I feel like Larry, he feels like he's doing her, like, he calls it a hooker mitzvah later on, but which I love that. But, yeah, he's like, he's trying to help her out. I mean, you know, he's helping out the hooker. So, then he goes to check out. They have cookies in the lobby, much like the hotel down in Coolidge Corner here has. Apparently they have cookies in the lobby. It's really okay. So I want to say this for a second. So he gives the fake name, or he gave a fake name when he checked in, of Buck Dancer.
Yeah,
which is hilarious. And I don't know if you remember this, but one time way back in the day, George Costanza said if he was a porn star, he would be called Buck Naked.
Oh,
do you remember that?
I don't. I actually thought of that when he was given Leon later in the episode, giving him a fake name.
Right.
I wonder if Buck Dancer is from like from one of those porn star generator things.
It probably is, but I don't know. They must have chosen that knowing that obviously they knew that George Costanza was Buck Naked. They must remember that.
Right.
Even though it was 100 years ago, I remember it.
I like how the hotel manager is just like, okay, Mr. Dance. Like, he obviously sees through the whole thing.
Right. Well, they get a lot of fake Hollywood people. You know, and probably a lot of Hollywood people get fake names.
Yeah, he's
Mr. Dance. But Buck Dancer is such a stupid name. It's such a dumb name. Yeah, and the guy sort of plays along with it. So they have a big discussion, though, because Larry goes to get cookies. He sees the tongs, and he very carefully, though, without touching any of the other cookies, takes one with his fingers. Just two fingers.
Yeah. He didn't touch any of the other cookies.
Right. He did. He purposely was very meticulous. He did not touch any cookie other than the one that he took with two fingers. And the guy comes over and says, Mr. Dancer, I noticed you, you didn't use our tongs. We encourage our guests to use the tongs. And he said he eschewed the tongs. He even used the word eschewed.
Yeah, eschewed the tongs.
Because he thought that the tongs would you know, crumble the cookie up, you know.
And then he's like, okay, I'll use the tong for my second cookie. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh.
And he's like, yeah, he's like, you're having a real moment there.
I'll let you have it.
That hotel guy was really funny, actually. He's like, you're having a real moment there.
Well, believe it or not, and this is a true story, I don't want to out Larry David you on the show, but I had a tong moment just last week in between Curbcasts.
Oh, my God.
And before this episode aired, I had a tong moment that I have to share with you.
This is great. I'm very excited.
So I went to, there's a new grocery store in my neighborhood called Be Fresh. And
okay,
yeah. I went into Be Fresh, and it was Tuesday. It was Taco Tuesday, right? Taco Tuesday?
Taco Tuesday.
They have a hot bar set up, and it's tacos.
Nice.
And I hadn't eaten dinner, but I was like, I'm not just going to get tacos. I'm going to get, you know, regular groceries so that we can make dinner. I can make dinner for Stacy, too. I'm not just going to load up, like, a couple tacos here. But yeah, I was
sorry.
Like, I was like, good to know that there's a Taco Tuesday thing happening here. And then over by where the shells and the tortillas are, there was a pair of tongs sitting very precariously on the edge of the workstation, the tortilla workstation.
Okay, and on the edge.
On the edge, and I wasn't anywhere near it. I was just happened to be walking by, and I saw the tongs fall. And they hit the floor.
Oh. Oh, no.
And they were only down there for a second. And then I saw the guy that worked there just
oh god,
pick him up and put him right back.
I am never going to eat at that Be Fresh now. Thank you very much.
Referencing exactly what happened. That mirror, is exactly a mirror image.
It is.
Of what happened.
It's amazing.
And I was like, considering maybe I should tell somebody, hey, I saw that guy just put those back. But then I was like, I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy that's like trying to get this poor bastard in trouble for dropping the tongs and picking him up.
Yeah. All right. All right. I'll give you that. You don't want to be that guy. But you didn't use them,
obviously. You know, snitches get stitches. You know what I mean? Like, it's not my life. It's not my...
Right.
$10 an hour job at the grocery store. I don't want to get him in trouble or something. You know what I mean?
Well, okay, yeah. Never mind the hundreds of people that might have used those tongs.
I think that maybe the one or two people that may possibly have used those tongs later you know, after the incident, nobody was eating the tacos.
Like Larry with the door holding. You did the equation.
I did the equation. It was very late. It was like late. It was like later in the day. I think tacos were meant for the lunchtime. This was like maybe after dinner. I don't think anyone was going back to the taco bar, except maybe, you know, people that work there. And it was, you know, much like the hotel manager and whatever her name was.
Claudia, who did, yeah.
I wiped them.
That was the great, it's like, I wiped them. He's like, might as well put the floor on.
Yeah. So can you imagine my surprise when I watched this thing and I was like, oh my God, were they following me around? And they made this show. Like, I can't believe that just happened. It was
that
the exact
pretty amazing.
Thing that happened.
This is the great thing about this show. Oh, one of the great. When you find yourself in that situation and you go, well, I find myself in situations like that and I go, Larry's right.
Yeah. And don't you like kind of like in the course of your life, I almost wish that we were smart enough to have the Curbcast be like Zen in the art of Curb Your Enthusiasm, like little less. Like, don't you during your life like think like, oh, I feel kind of like Larry David here in this situation.
I definitely do.
And,
Yeah.
What would Larry do?
It's hard because there are times where I definitely think along Larry's lines, but I don't really have the chutzpah to say. You know what I mean? I'm saying it in my head. I'm going, this isn't good. But you know what I mean? And Larry will just say it because, well, I mean, it's a TV show, but it's in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, geez, oh, God. You know, like, but, oh, well, it is true. It does happen, though, more often than you would even think these things happen. And they end up on Curb, or they were on Curb and they happen to you. Yeah, you would happen first. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Very strange. Very strange.
I want to bring up one more funny thing about this interaction with the hotel concierge guy, whatever you call those guys, the hotel manager guy. So he says, do you have any recommendations or something like that? I forget how he words it. And Larry says, don't tuck. See, he doesn't want him to tuck the sheets.
Yeah, so no, who sleeps like that?
Yeah, that's what he said. Who sleeps like that? It's a one-off line that has nothing to do with anything, but it that also was on Seinfeld. As I'm sure I'm not the only one who guessed that, but that was also a complaint that George Costanza had way back in the day. I think it was maybe like third season or something like that of Seinfeld, maybe even before that. But they were staying in a hotel, and he was telling the chambermaid to not tuck the sheets in. And he said, Jerry, what do you want? Do you? And Jerry's like, I don't care, whatever they do. So he's trying to explain this one. One tuck and one no tuck. And then like she's like, okay. And then Jerry goes, you know what? And then he says, wait, yeah. He says to Jerry, no, I think it'd be easier if you just went no tuck. And Jerry's like, all right, fine, no tuck. And she's like, okay, two no tuck. And then she's like, okay. And then Jerry's like, no, you know what? Put me down for a tuck. So just to make it more confusing. Anyways, very funny stuff, but another callback to Seinfeld already.
Wow.
Between Buck Dancer and the no tuck, the two Seinfeld references already.
Well, I'm glad that you're here for all these Seinfeld references.
Thank you. Anyways, we go to the next scene, and we get to see the Funk. Get to see Funkhauser. One of my favorite characters.
Brings his nephew by.
Of course, I mean, Funkhauser, I mean, first of all, I mean, Super Dave, and as you know, as a fan of Arrested Development, he was also the surrogate. Been in 100 things. He's been all over for years, but he's
a
really...
I remember Super Dave Osborne more than anything. Like, that was the shit.
We don't, we were kids, but, like, I mean, I definitely remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it was like we were kids, but we were, like, watching... You know, something that was like not for kids. You know what I mean? Like we were trying to sneak and watch Super Dave Osborne.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely remember it very distinctly. But I mean, anyway. But he's here. I mean, here he is. He's all these years later, still funny as hell. I love this. I love Funkhauser. Anyway, so yeah, he brings his nephew by. This kid, he's one of those overachievers, really. He's in every club in high school or whatever, and he's the star pitcher.
Yeah.
And as he's rolling off this kid's accolades, Larry David is kind of like, all right. Like, he actually says that in the middle of
He's like, he's a star pitcher. He's a student,
president of student government, probably all that stuff. I don't even remember all that, but it was all a bunch of, you know, stuff. And and Larry David, much like anyone would do, like, all right, and that's enough. Okay. You know, my favorite line, because Leon is there.
Yeah.
And he says, there's no way anybody could do it. What are you, like Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
Like, what? He's like, well, I don't really play any Forrest Gump. He's like,
I'm not running across the country.
Yeah,
and that was like right after Leon also had my other, probably my favorite line of the episode when he's like, "You got to watch out for this chimney, Larry. You know, fatwa claws is gonna come down the chimney."
Fatwa claws. That's true. They're trying to. Yeah, Larry's locking all the doors like, you know, twice.
Don't use this door anymore.
Yeah, don't use this door.
You got to worry about this chimney. You got fatwa claws.
Fatwa claws come down. But that my favorite line was when he says to the kid, he said, "You ever seen a titty?"
Yeah, he's like, "What kind of question is Funkhauser? What kind of question is that?"
Because he thinks the kid, there's no way the kid can do all that. He's like, "What's the matter with you? You ever see a titty?" So anyway, I mean that's genius. But I mean that. Oh, so they want to make a sandwich. Well, like he's about to, Larry and David is about to shoo them out.
Yeah, oh, we're about to eat.
He's like, all right, we're about to eat. And they're like, oh, I'm hungry. You know what I mean? So it's typical, like, Larry David doesn't want these people around, and they just kind of invite themselves. So Leon's like, yeah, man, we're going to make a sandwich. So they break out a jar of pickles. So this is where the pickle gambit, theme begins.
Yeah.
It's a new jar of pickles. And Leon can't open it, and the kid can't open it. And Big Funk, as he calls himself, give it a Big Funk. And he can't open it. And then Larry tries to open it, and he and the kid are tugging it back and forth. Because everybody wants to be the one. Because everybody wants to be the one to open that. That's the thing. It's like you have to be victorious. It's like this great thing. It's pickles. So as they're wrestling, the kid bangs his elbow against the kitchen counter, and it's his pitching elbow. And
everybody's like, you gotta tap it, tap it, tap it.
Yeah, right. The kid breaks it all with their own. Is that your pitching arm? Oh, it's my pitching arm.
Everybody's gotta be a hero with the pickle jar.
Yeah, that's right. And so he says, yeah, it's your fault, pickle boy. That's what Leon calls him. He calls him pickle boy. And they leave, they rush him to the hospital, whatever. And Larry says, no, I think we had an open jar right there in the frame.
Another classic, like, old school, like, I say I Marx Brothers. I'm saying that, like, just because it's the first thing I could think of, but, like, classic, just old school comedy writing. Like, actually, there's almost like from an improv class. Actually, there's there's a half open jar of pickles.
Yeah,
in the fridge.
You go through all that, and it's already exactly.
So that was like that made me die more than laughing more than anything else. So.
And there was an open jar.
Yeah, Leon just deadpan just opens it up like real, super easy. They both have a pickle. After you just ruined this kid's life.
After you, well, yeah, we find out later. The next part, so I guess it's the next day, and Ted Danson comes by. Good to see, you know, Ted Danson, always classic. And this is obviously probably something that's going to be, again, going along the whole season. And so Ted, you know, he does the fake how you doing stuff.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm still...
Yeah,
because
oh,
of the
yeah, jeez. I was so... Oh, yeah, man. Hey, so here's what I'm here. You know, like, it's like, this is what friends do, though, you know. And so he says, I want your permission to ask out Cheryl. And so, like, Larry, I think Larry is more offended that he came over under false pretenses. And he says, no, absolutely not. You cannot date my ex-wife. And they have this sort of discussion about whether or not Larry could go out with Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah.
And Ted Danson thinks that's ridiculous.
He's like, oh, you, no. Larry David, well, my ex-wife, Mary Steenburgen. It's like, what, you don't think it's I'm pretty, cool enough?
That's exactly what he says. Yeah, it's like, oh, he's like, well, I didn't say that, but that's out there or something like that. He says, that's in the air or something like that. So they call Mary right then. Yeah, it's hilarious. So, yeah, and Mary kind of, you know, nicely, she's such a sweet, you know, like, I don't know. She always plays the sweetest person, and she probably is in real life. I don't know. But she's like, oh, Larry, we just don't have much in common. And he's like, well, we both breathe and eat.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, everybody does that.
Yeah, they kind of have that in common with everybody.
Yeah, no, that's, I thought that was pretty funny. So anyways, she turns her down and says physically she is not his type.
I like, and Larry, when you look at Larry's face too when he's like talking to her on the phone, he's like, you know about this thing with Cheryl and Ted? I was thinking, why don't we go out?
Yeah. They're going to go, I want to go out with me. Yeah,
because he's not doing it because he's interested in her. He's only doing it to get back at Ted and Cheryl.
Exactly. It's so ridiculous. A typical Larry did. Even so, well, whatever. We'll get to that later in a minute. Oh, but he does tell her, I mean, he does tell Ted, that, just so you know, Cheryl is revolted by the penis.
Yeah, she does not give blowjobs.
She does not give blowjobs. She's revolted by the penis. Only sex, only in the dark. She's very revolted by the penis.
Yeah.
And Ted's like, okay, well, I'm not really worried about that.
Maybe that's changed.
That's right. He says, maybe that's changed. So, anyway, in the next scene, he goes to see an old friend. Goes to see that. Now, this is going back a few seasons. Do you remember? You must remember this, obviously.
Oh, yeah. The
when
the
he was. Yes. He was given
the
a pass.
Halal chicken.
He was given a pass by Cheryl, whatever anniversary they were celebrating, that he could have sex with somebody, right? Like somebody outside of their marriage.
Yeah.
That was apparently a promise that she had made to him way back in the day. And he remembered, and he had apparently been holding on to that promise for a long time. he finds this. Was she a dry cleaner? I'm sorry about that. Now I can't even remember. She was like a dry cleaner or something, right?
What? Who?
The woman that he was going to have sex with. That he wasn't she?
Oh.
A,
Not the one on this episode, though.
Oh, okay. Not one. I'm sorry. I was getting
that. No, the one on this episode is like the... she works at the Muslim chicken place.
That's right. Yes, of course. It was like, yeah, the chicken place. Of course. So he sees her, and he's in his ridiculous disguise. And she says, but she recognizes him because his disguise isn't really that good.
Yeah.
And then she says, I like it. It hides the Jew.
That's a very nice compliment. Very sweet, he says.
Very sweet. Hides the Jew. But anyway, he's hoping to get a hookup because this is the only Muslim person. Yeah,
the Muslims, they're not coming to me. They don't hang out in the deli. They're not in show business. Like, he's just saying like all these like
the only Jewish stereotypes. That he goes to, right? The deli. But then it's funny because she says she knows people. And he says, are you a plotter? She's like, I've plotted.
I've plotted.
Well, they come to an agreement. And in the next scene, they're like, doing it.
Fully doing it.
Yeah, because I guess that's what...
And that she's calling him an infidel.
Yeah, and she's like begging him to really stick it to her like he stuck it to the Muslim nation or whatever.
Yeah,
It's getting very intense.
Yeah, he's like, let's keep it kosher. That's right. And then he's just like, you know, like, it's like, she's like, start dirty. He's like, he just starts saying, like, Steve Bannon.
Yeah, he's like, Donald Trump, Steve, all these, like, yeah. And then his new security guard, his name is SWAT, I guess.
SWAT.
She, like, drags her out because he thinks that she's, like, attacking. Because the rule was, like, you know, no fatwa, no, you know, yeah, whatever. Yeah, because
I think he was, like, yelling, because she was, like, choking him. And then he was kind of like, is this the fatwa?
So she drags him out because, like, yeah, the fatwa. And then Leon has the other best line, my second favorite line, I guess, or maybe my favorite, but he says, I'm not even going to talk to you about fucking her with your glasses.
Yeah, I think his name is SWAT.
But anyway, yeah, so that also comes into play, of course, later on. But we learn a little more about the guy SWAT, who is his new security guy. He lives there now, and he likes soft towels and stone fruit. No stone fruit.
Yeah, I had to look up stone fruit. I didn't know what that was. That's like a plum?
Stuff like a pit, like, right? Because I think even avocado or something like that.
Oh, okay. He's like, the oils.
Like, yeah, it's like, but it's so funny. He's like, dude, I can't have stone fruit.
But Larry completely loses the cool because those two guys, Leon and SWAT, keep interrupting his phone call. Yeah, they won't wait console. For like 2 seconds. And he's like, hold on, shut the fuck up, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm on the phone, bro. It's pretty funny. And he calls him nincompoops, which I think is great. Yeah. It's a great line.
These towels are too rough.
Yeah, and he's like, well, first of all, velvet doesn't even get you dry. Not even... yeah. So anyways... All right, so now he has to go back to the hotel because he left pajama bottoms in the room. Which yes, is another so hilarious thing because he really wants these pajama bottoms back because they obfuscate the penis. You can wear them around the house and nobody can tell. But if the ones he has now, his secondary pair, is a little flopping. So... but yeah, then we, you know, as he's waiting for the guy to look in Lost and Found, he sees we have the incident that we mentioned before where she dropped the tongs and put them back to, and wiped them.
Yeah, she wiped them on the...
Yeah, I wiped them. Which, Matt, like, that doesn't... Okay, I'm going to just say it right now. That is bullshit. And that doesn't even matter. What did wiping them do? Unless you're wiping them with an alcohol, like, or like Clorox wipe.
So I'm imagining that you don't have, even in your house, a 10-second rule.
Are you kidding me?
Five-second rule? What happens if you're
cooking I've heard in the of kitchen, the 5 second rule.
You drop a, I know you drop a fork. Are you gonna pick it up? It's okay. There's no wrong answer here.
10 second is that is there's no way that is
2 second rule. 5 seconds.
Two. Okay, maybe a two. I actually read somewhere there was some kind of some scientist actually said that a it was scientifically proven that a 5 second rule is a thing. You can work that.
You can work with that? That's
true.
What does that mean?
You can't get a lot of germs in less than 5 seconds.
Oh, okay.
On whatever it is that you dropped on the floor.
Okay.
My germs. Germs. But the wiping, that doesn't do anything.
Okay? The wiping does not do anything.
I don't care. But they have a funny, there is a great, exchange between he and the woman, Claudia, who, but even before she dropped the tongue, because he keeps harping on the fact that they're Petrichon cookies.
But also like, who's in charge of the cookies?
Right.
He doesn't think it's the manager. He's like, I think that Claudia's actually in charge of the cookies. It's like calling him out.
Because
I don't think this is your jurisdiction.
Yeah, I think it's great. I don't even know if it's now or later, but he says, I guess it's later, but he says, come on, Baldy.
He calls him Baldy.
But anyways, so in the end, he gets thrown out. He's still never to return to that hotel. And Mr. Dancer. You're not welcome here anymore, Mr. Dancer. So this is kind of even where it sort of begins. So like Funkhauser is complaining to Larry that his nephew has lost all will to like live, basically. He's not going to apply to Stanford and all this stuff because he's uptight because he can't ejaculate.
He can't like all men relax.
His elbow is broken. He can't go left. That was a...
Can you go left?
It's like, nah, no one can go left. And Larry's like, I can do other things with my left hand. I can brush my teeth.
In the background, the maid brings him lunch. And he goes, what the fuck is this shit? You call this lunch? Take this banana and shove it up your ass. The kid is bummed out and throwing stuff and smashing his lunch on the ground and throwing bananas at the poor maid.
The poor maid. So Larry has the idea of the hooker that he met previously.
Yeah, of course. Classic Curb tie-in.
Exactly.
Earlier in the episode. Well,
yeah, so he's like, I can help you out if I can get to this hooker and, get her to help the kid, ejaculate. So anyways, he has Leon, and this is the part where Chappie Johnson who was a player back in the Negro Leagues, which Larry, Larry likes to put baseball references in.
Oh,
there
yeah,
a
it's
lot.
Great.
So he says, you're Chappie Johnson. So, like, and you pretend to try to open this jar of pickles, and then you're going to create a diversion because everyone's going to want to help you do it. And then I'm going to sneak in and try to find this hooker. So I love this part. So Leon walks into the lobby and says, I'm Chappie Johnson and I can't open this jar of pickles. Like, he has to throw the name out there. It's so ridiculous. I'm Chappie Johnson and I can't open these pickles. So of course, just like predicted, the pickle gambit, which is what Larry said. And it works. Like, they all crowd around him and Larry sneaks into the hotel bar and he sees the hooker. And she's dressed really nice. And they have this great conversation. He says, it's a hooker mitzvah, which is a great line.
Yeah.
And then he says, I got a friend, my friend's nephew. And she's like, sure, of course, anything.
Okay.
Meanwhile.
Then he notices Ted and Cheryl are in this hotel.
Yeah.
About to go up to the room.
Yeah. They say, let's raid the minibar. She says,
Did you notice how they both looked at Larry? But there's no way that they knew that it was him, but they both kind of...
I mean,
were like,
they
looked him?
Like they were going to sit at the bar and then decide to change their mind. I kind of think they knew.
But they were looking at... Like, Don't you think they would have said something like, was that Larry in a wig? You know?
I don't know.
She was married to the guy for however long.
I know. I think she knew. I think she steered Ted Danson away. I don't know.
I was trying to figure that out. And like here is then you think about it from Cheryl's perspective. Did she just see her ex-husband in a disguise picking up a high-class hooker at the hotel bar? You know what I mean? Well, she gets to... Maybe they'll address that in the next episode.
Maybe they will. I hope they do. Like, it looked to me like she steered him away. But, I mean, either way, they're walking arm in arm in a hotel. I mean, like, what? I don't even know why they would be there. To do it, right. But I don't know why. You can't just go to your own house? Or whatever.
I guess it's also actually very like convenient that of all the hotels in LA,
right? They happen to be the one that Larry is at that moment.
And they, it's funny just because they kind of stare at each other. Ted looks at him when he walks away, and it kind of like gets like not in a bad way. It gets messy because. Larry gets up, he gets involved with the pickle fight. The pickle
right. Well, he wants to follow them up. Yeah. You can tell. But he's also torn because he wants to be the guy to open the pickle jar. So that's where the pickle gambit does fail him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he is torn. He sees them getting in the elevator. And he has a chance to run and say, hey, what the fuck are you doing? And instead,
but the pickle gambit was his idea. Why was he trying to get in there to open the pickle jar? I don't understand why he would do that at all.
It's the lure of the pickle jar.
It's that. Even on his own trick, he's tricked by his own trick.
I know, his own trick. Gets
and to see him, like, decide what to do with the fucking wig and mustache on is so funny.
So, they're starting to... Well, one thing they do throw in, because we're getting near the end here, but and I'm sure this is something for future episodes. He's driving home, I guess, or driving.
Oh, yeah.
He sees Mary Steenburgen with a Larry David lookalike, like a person who looks exactly like him with the ball. The hair is exactly the same.
I actually, just really quick, I was trying to figure out, I paused it a couple of times. I was like, did they put Ted Danson in a Larry David disguise? Because if they did, that's brilliant.
That would be pretty funny. Who is that person? I kind of want to know who that is. I think we should, I don't know.
But
so I'll look it up on IMDb or something. Like, yeah, who is that? Who is that guy who looks exactly like Larry David?
He looks exactly like him.
And there, yeah, Mary and he are walking like hand in hand, you know, and Larry is...
He's like, what the fuck?
Really upset.
I thought it wasn't your physical type. She goes up.
Yeah. And he goes back and he's complaining about it to Funkhauser while Funkhauser is, his nephew is in there with the hooker and, you know. So, but here's another funny part. This is another part that is, I think is really great. And it's pretty old school, like kind of comedy. Like you said, he's complaining about the Funkhauser and Funkhauser's like, well, you know, I called Cheryl twice because he's like, you should do it behind my back. And he's I called Cheryl twice. And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I called her, you know, just to chat and get some fashion advice. Then we went for a cup of coffee. Then we went to two movies. Then we went for a walk in the park.
He keeps dropping. Well, I called her for shopping advice. Yeah, I called her to go for a walk. Yeah, a cup of coffee.
Yeah, it starts out two phone calls, and then all of a sudden...
It's not one movie, two movies.
Yeah, it's two movies. I called her a couple times, and then...
One dinner.
That's right, one dinner.
But and then, you know, to his point, he's, you know, Larry's complaining because Ted just comes over here and asks him how he's doing and all this stuff. But then he's like, why didn't he just do it behind my back? So Larry ends up walking away from Funkhauser because he's like, yeah, it actually isn't a big deal because he did it the way I would have wanted
right.
to do it.
Right, I wanted to do it behind my back.
He's That's like a so little good. Pissed at us, just like the pickle thing. Like, he's like, what? And he's like, oh, actually, no, that's fine.
He's like, all right. But it's so funny, this progression of things.
Yeah.
Starts out two phone calls and puts some fashion advice, and then it becomes like dinner and movie and coffee and walk in the park. Like, what? It's like, they're actually dating, I think. I think they're actually officially dating. But that reminds me of another, I know this probably isn't the same thing, but it reminds me of another Seinfeld episode where a woman broke up with George. And and she told him the truth. Like, she just said she didn't like him, and whatever, for whatever reason, he was cheap or stuff like that. And he was, or no, maybe George wanted to break up with the woman and he was being honest. And they were like, George, that was mean. And he's like, why is it mean? And then he's like, you lied. So George wanted people to lie to him. So it's very similar to, he wanted women to lie to him. Yeah. So it's very similar to this thing. He's like, he wanted Funkhouser to go behind his back. But anyways, so he's got his phone call, his Skype call.
With the consulate, like the Iranian consulate, to try to get to the bottom of how he can start to apologize to the Ayatollah.
Right. How does he get the fatwa lifted, or I guess they're lifted, right? And the guy says, oh, he is a big Seinfeld fan, the Ayatollah. It's funny. The thing that I really like is he says he's a close talker. The Ayatollah is a close talker. And he said, oh, well, I wouldn't want to, you know, he doesn't look like he'd be popping a lot of lifesavers. I mean, like, even when he's trying to apologize, he can't.
he can't do it.
He just can't stop. Like, he has to. So anyways, but he thinks he's about to get off the hook, and all of this, so SWAT thinks that, you know, it's the same deal with the chicken lady. He goes in and grabs the hooker off the Funkhauser kid, and he chases them out. And meanwhile, Leon is behind them saying, no, no.
It's framed in such a way that, you know, the Skype call is happening behind him.
Right.
You know, you see, like, this kind of another, like a Benny Hill sketch. Talking about classic comedy, you see a kid with a broken arm.
Yeah.
A hooker in a bra and panties.
Yeah.
A big, huge black guy named SWAT. Chasing them out, and then Leon yelling at him, and then Leo's perfectly in the frame, and he goes, no, just get rid of the Muslims. That's when he's talking to them.
Just get rid of the Muslims.
And then, you know, exactly, like, what he did, classic Larry, like, ah, please, no, it's a game.
So obviously that trek, that attempt to get away from the Ayatollah is failed. But yeah, that was pretty. No, just get rid of the Muslims. But yeah, too good. That I forget. I looked up that hooker, by the way. She looked familiar to me. She had been in a couple movies.
Not a real hooker.
She was not a real hooker. I almost want to look up on IMDb and see who that fake Larry was, because that was astounding. He looked so inspiring. I can imagine Larry David being so psyched, actually. He's like, yeah, you look like me!
I mean, you probably just needed to get a bald guy, then, you know.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
But this was, like I said, this is the show. You know, like, this is what it's all about. It's just too good!
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, we got to see Funkhauser. These are all the best. All my favorites coming back. We got Ted Danson.
When we post this episode, if you hashtag Curb Your Enthusiasm, there's a little Larry David emoji that pops up on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was trying to find an IMDb page. That's funny.
All right, she was on Rules of Engagement, actually, which I never watched that show, but she's been on a lot of stuff. 30 Minutes or Less, Psych, yeah. But, I can't, they don't say anything about it. He's probably just some crew guy that they got who looks just like Larry David. But yeah, I mean, another good one. I think it's good. I think a lot of people online were kind of, like, hating on this one.
Really? But yeah. I just don't have time for that.
You don't have time for that.
For people being upset about this. It's hilarious. We've been waiting for how long?
That's true. We've been waiting a long time for
this. You know, and we all enjoy these on the rewatch in seasons anyways. This is just, here we are, episode 2. Like, there's going to be way more to it.
I know. Well, we're clearly going to see some more stuff with Mary Steenburgen and that guy. We're going to see him trying to get this fatwa
and more stuff with Larry and Cheryl, which they did on the upcoming episode of
Curtis. Yes. And that is good. I mean, I as funny as this was, I mean, I think you do need Cheryl around
sometimes. I always like it when there's more Cheryl and Jeff. Like, they're not going to be in every episode. That's fine. You know, like, and Leon's going to not be in every episode, probably, you know, like.
Right.
Or if he is, it's not, like, a dominant character.
Yeah, you know? It's fine. You can't have everybody, everything. But Cheryl is definitely, like, she does kind of, there is a grounding, you know what I mean, that with her character sort of, like, pointing out some of the ridiculousness of what Larry does, you know, like when it comes to like Leon is even more ridiculous than Larry. So Larry has to, you know, but someone needs to be on the other side, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because Cheryl does, like, even though they're not together, she still, like, has they're like a good model of a relationship of people that aren't together anymore, but they still get along, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But she kind of, you know, she was always sort of the conscience and, but yeah. There were some funny references too. So I know I keep harping on this episode, but when he's talking to the consul and he says the Ayatollah is a big fan of Seinfeld, he's like, what was his favorite episode? He's like, oh, the puffy shirt.
No, I think the consul was a fan. Oh, the consul.
I thought he said the Ayatollah was a fan. Maybe you're right.
Because he's like, which is your favorite episode? He's like, the puffy shirt.
The puffy shirt. Which is funny because, I mean, you think the contest is always one that everyone's going to like, but I mean, everybody does, but it's great that they brought that one up.
I like the Merv Griffin show episode and the movie phone episode. Those are like my favorite ones.
The movie phone episode is great, but it's funny that doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, does that still, because nobody uses movie phone anymore.
Yeah, but I used to use it all the time.
I did too. I used it too back in the 90s, but.
During the day.
Back in their day. But that is still really funny because I love Kramer's reaction to some of the... He's like, why did you just tell me the name of the movie?
I just say that, like, randomly.
I love his fake... They're fake movie titles, too. And he does, like, the fake trailers. He's like, Kevin Bacon, you gotta get me on the other side of that mountain! Yeah. There's no mountain higher than Mountain High. Yeah, that is good. But yeah, so he says the puffy shirt, which I guess is that a, like, do sort of Muslims wear, like, sort of puffy clothing? I don't know if that's like some sort of.
I just think it's.
It's just an episode that everybody knows.
It appeals to everybody, that episode.
That is pretty funny. Jerry with the puffy shirt on the Today Show. And there was the low talker in that one.
Yeah,
because that was the reason he ended up with in the first place, is because he couldn't hear the woman telling him or asking him to wear her puppy shirt on the Today Show. So yeah, always good to see those. I know it's not like this obscure reference that no one's going to get because Seinfeld was like this really popular show.
No, but I mean, I might even just need, like, you haven't hit one yet, but maybe there'll be one that I'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Oh, so did you remember Buck Naked? Is that what you're telling me? You remember George?
No, I'm saying, like, I hope I will start to remember some of these Seinfeld.
Oh, I see.
Thanks. Okay. But I haven't remembered any of the ones you've pointed out yet. So for all I know, you're lying.
Well, I can prove it to you if you ever need proof.
I have Seinfeld. And I'll occasionally throw it on Hulu, but it's not really a go-to. I'm going to watch that right now, even though I could. It should maybe be, you know, I don't know if you can rewatch it.
I watch them, well, because they're always on TBS.
Ah, yeah.
So it's one of those things where, yeah, you don't have cable, but
I do have access to a Seinfeld anytime I want.
If you want to watch, but I mean, for me, it's like I come home from work. Or I come home from the gym and then I just want to sit there for a few minutes. I know that Seinfeld is usually on, like, at 6 to 7 on TBS.
Yep.
And I could just turn it on and watch for a while. And I'll know the episode. I'll know exactly what even they're going to say sometimes. But it's good. It's good to just kind of, like, Yeah, it is. It's good to just sort of veg out with something like that. It's really mentally, you know, it's good for your mental health.
Very well.
Very well. So, yeah, we're rolling along there.
So, it probably deserves its own episode of Curbcast. Maybe if they take a week off, like, sometimes these shows, like, will be every Sunday, but then they'll be, I don't know, something happens, Super Bowl right. or something.
Right, right, right.
We should talk about Larry's Daughters, Cassie David, web series 86, which I sent to you last night. I don't expect for you to have seen any of it, but it is. I
didn't watch any of it yet. I'm sorry.
It is 8 episodes of like 6 minutes long. It's like basically a millennial version of Curb Your Enthusiasm. She's so much like her dad. And it's all about, you know, she's like 20, 21 years old.
Oh my God.
It's about her. She in real life, her boyfriend is Pete Davidson from SNL.
And, oh, very good.
And she's very, very, very funny. And she's like a germaphobe, and she writes a lot like her dad. And this is like, it's only a web series. It's just on YouTube.
Wow.
And it is hilarious. It's like, you know, very like, you know. It has its own sort of anxieties, like anxieties about dating and stuff and like hooking up with guys. And like, she just got dumped. That's why it's called 86. She just got dumped.
She's trying
to dig herself out of it. And it's like, she's doing all these things just briefly. She's doing all these things like online, like, oh, will you upload this picture of me and tag me in it? Because I want it to look like I went out tonight, but I don't want my ex to know that I'm the one that uploaded the picture, because then I'll look desperate. You know, so like, everything she does on social media is like, or texting, or like what she does on Instagram is like to kind of get back at her ex-boyfriend so that he begs her to come back to him.
Very good.
So that he begs her to come back. But, and then she's all the time like saying like, oh, you know, looks like he's dating this other girl. And there's the second episode is like she finds out her ex-boyfriend is dating a girl that goes, her nickname is Tight Pussy Melissa. And she like goes around this party. I swear to God, it's almost as if Larry David like wrote this, but he couldn't have, because he can't identify with like this generation. She is smart and she's funny, and it's, you know, maybe an hour for the whole, all 8 episodes all together, and it is hilarious.
Well, I will definitely check that out, and I'll throw the link up in the old show notes there.
And yeah, as I said, like, well, once you watch it, I think that we should do an episode just on that, because that
sounds good to me.
It's so awesome and funny, and and it's funny how I even found it, because I was, you know, like wanting people to listen to this show. And if you are listening, and if you're subscribed to us on leaguepodcast.com, then thank you, and you're a new listener, thank you for listening.
Yeah, but
I was looking on the hashtags, and I came across this. So, yeah, that's it.
All right. I will check it out. I saw the link. I didn't get a chance to watch it this weekend, but I will definitely watch it this week. And we'll do all.
It's a good, like, lunch, you know, lunch thing with, you know, watch it on your phone. You know what I mean? Like, watch an episode at a time, like, while you're at lunch, you know?
All right.
And we are listening. We are soliciting for a couple of things. Guests. People that have been on Curb Your Enthusiasm, the people that really love Curb Your Enthusiasm, you're listening to our podcast for the first time, you really want to be on the show, please let us know. We're also looking for sponsors for the show. Please hit us up at feedback@leaguepodcast.com. Maybe we'll do a Patreon. Maybe we can get some people some nice artwork, some nice prints. But please become engaged with us. #Curbcast. If you want to share this episode, please tell your friends about it, because we're having a good time so far.
Yeah, definitely. Very, very much. Very well. So, yeah, keep listening. Do some reviews. Tell your friends, whatever.
Share our little thing.
Share our little thing.
Share our posts. Continue to listen to us, and we thank you if you're just joining us, because we've been doing comic book podcasts for a while. This is in the same feed, and it's very similar to our other show, but it's very Curb Your Enthusiasm centric. So,
indeed,
yeah, thanks
indeed.
For joining us.
Thanks to you.
Thanks to you.
All right, Clay. Well, yeah, we'll talk more next week. I will check out the 80. Is this the 86 or 86?
86 ED.
All right.
Webseries.com. 86thwebseries.com.
All right.
But I also, you could just that. Search for 86th
all right.
on YouTube, and you'll find it too.
All 86, right.
like getting dumped.
I will check it out. And we'll talk. Yeah, maybe we'll talk more about that one of these weeks when we have a.
When we have a bye week.
A bye week. There
That's
you go.
What we'll do.
It's like in football.
That's right.
All right. Well, all right.
Two football references for me in the last 5 minutes.
I know, that's weird. You don't need...
That, only because I watch the league.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Enjoy your... you get any cake or anything?
Oh, we were in New York City, so we did all sorts of shit.
All right. All right.
Well, I did have a little... I had one last P.S. Larry David moment. I got the cake at the restaurant, the happy birthday, the singing and all that. Thank you, friends. Thank you, Stefan and Stacy. Wonderful friends we're out to dinner with. They bring me out the cake and the ice cream on one plate. I don't like my cake. I don't like my warm cake next to a cold ice cream.
Really?
I don't enjoy mixing those together. I think they're two separate entities for the dessert.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a lot of people... What about like a warm brownie or something?
With ice cream?
Yeah.
No. Give me the brownie, give me the ice cream. Don't mess them up.
No mix. All right. I guess it does melt the ice cream faster, man.
Yeah. You know, even if it's just a regular piece of cake with the ice cream melting and it gets all in the cake. People are supposed to enjoy that third thing, but I don't.
All right. I don't eat any of it, so... whatever. But.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Fuck that. Well, anyway, happy birthday. And,
thanks.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
Later.
Are you my Caucasian?
I'm your man.
Are you my Caucasian?
I'm your fucking Caucasian.
All right. All right.
All right. All right.